You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
Jesus, we met in the desert, the I Am.
Okay.
And so he believed, and when that was counted, his faith was counted as righteousness.
Okay.
Why is this faith so important to God?
Well, we talked about this, I think last week we talked about this, that it's always been about faith, that salvation has always been not by offering sacrifices in the Hebrew scriptures. It's always been about the faith that we have in God and believing the promises. In Abram's case, God said, you're going to have this many descendants. Look at the stars. See if you can count them. How will I know that I can believe you? And then he told him to kill the animals, split them in two. And then God passed
between. I never heard that before.
He's making a covenant. This is how you made a covenant in those times. And we see this in Jeremiah mentions this. Okay. But context. Okay. Geography sometimes helps us understand the message of the Bible. North of the Sea of Galilee, right at the foot of Mount Hermon, is the city of Caesarea Philippi, which is now known as Banias. And this was a Greek city during the time of Jesus. It's one of the nicest places to go, Brett. There's waterfalls, because this is right literally at the base of a snow-covered mountain, a 9,400-foot mountain. There's snow on it year-round. The snow's melting. It's coming.
Where is this again?
North part of Israel in Galilee.
Galilee?
And the mountain is Mount Hermon, but at the base of Mount Hermon is a city called Banias. In Jesus' time, it was called Caesarea Philippi.
How many times have you been to Israel? Just a guesstimate. 13, 17?
7, 8. But we lived there for...
you lived there.
For four months one time, 3 months another. We've been there for a month, 6 weeks at other times.
So this is still, I went there only once many years ago.
Did you go to Banias? Maybe you did.
I don't know.
Okay.
I was wondering, but I will tell you this. It's still the idea of going back is there's no excitement to someone who's been converted and had a real experience with the Lord to walk where he walked.
Right.
The fragrance of the arid environment.
I agree.
I bet you right now you long to go back. I do.
Well, I have friends there. The Bible becomes really alive when you're in the airspace. There's something special about it. And so what I'm trying to do, because the Lord has allowed me to be there and work there.
To give that as a gift to others.
That I, you know, that's why I guess I'm so passionate about, let's get in the room. Let's understand, okay?
Yeah.
And one of the things that Jesus did is he took his disciples, it says in Matthew 16, to the region district of Caesarea Philippi. Okay. Now, Caesarea Philippi was a place that there's a big rock formation. In fact, here's the picture that I have in the vision behind the verses. And this rock formation, if I can, let's see, how can I do that? Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't really do a good job of...
You know, as we improve this, and we're going to be doing some improvements
there.
Oh, that's great.
Okay.
As we do some improvements over the next year, you know, we'll be able to put this up there somehow.
This rock formation. There's the temple to Augustus. There's the court of Pans. There's the temple to Nemesis. And there's the altar of the dancing goats.
That's a severe drop from the mountain.
And there's a big rock formation that is there. And when you come up to Caesarea Philippi, this is where you came to worship. You're worshiping the goddess, God Pan. That's why it's Banias. He's portrayed as half man, half goat. You have the court of the temple of Nemesis. If you want to curse somebody, you take a piece of pottery, you write their name on it, you walk to the back of the temple. There's just a cave that drops down, and you throw this pottery down, and it breaks, and that releases the curse. Next to that is the court of Pan and the nymphs, and there's some sort of sexual worship.
You don't believe in any of this stuff.
Of course I do.
Why don't you want to make that clear? There are people listening, tuning in, going,
I'm not a pagan. This is what the Greeks and Romans were doing.
There might be some vulnerable young lady who's listening to this, you know. We don't want to pull anybody into the occult inadvertently.
Well, this is where Jesus took his disciples, okay?
Yeah.
Now, the altar of the dancing goats. The priest would take a goat and they would shave the hoof. The altar was a metal platform with a fire underneath. The goats would start dancing because it's hot. The priests were standing there with swords in their hand, and if a goat jumped out, they would lop off one of its limbs and then throw it back on the hot metal grill. And now you got a three-legged goat squirting blood that's running around. Another one jumps out, and you lop off his leg, and now they're dragging themselves around on this hot metal grill with blood splattering, and this is how they worshipped the god Pan. They're offering sacrifices.
How horrible.
Yeah, okay. This is pagan culture.
That's probably why God sent his son and had to be a bloody death. So he said, enough of this stuff. Let's get this finished. And that's why Jesus at the end of it all says, it is finished.
Okay. So Jesus, you ask a good question. Why would Jesus take his disciples?
Yeah.
Okay, let's read the text.
Okay.
Now, when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, final exam question, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, "Blessed, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter," and the word is small, means a small rock. "But upon this large bedrock, Petra, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower
it." Because the Catholics believe that the pub the rock, not okay, the Petra, okay. was Peter.
Okay, so the question is, who do you say I am? Now, Jesus, Peter replies, "You're the Christ." And then Jesus says, "Well, it wasn't, you didn't come up with that. My Father in heaven told you that."
Yeah.
Now, Peter, you're a small rock, but upon this bedrock or this big rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overpower it. Now, of course, as you mentioned, the Catholic Church thinks this is a time that Jesus is giving apostolic authority to Peter and his descendants to be the rulers of the church. Okay?
Now, do you want to say something? I can't believe a whole hour's gone by, so we have only about 30 seconds. Can you sum this up till our next visit? This is amazing.
And we know from the history of the Catholic Church that there were a lot of corrupt popes. So during the time of the Reformation, the 15, 1600s, the Protestants who read this said, it can't be that Peter is and his descendants are being made the authorities in the church, because look how corrupt they are. So what God or what Jesus must be saying is, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, must be the truth that Jesus is the Messiah. Okay? But if you're standing there, Rhett, and you're looking at this big rock formation where all this pagan worship is going on, and the cave is the water is coming out is called the gates of hell by the locals, what you realize is Jesus maybe is saying, I'm going to build my church right on top of this pagan worship, and the gates of hell are not going to be able to overpower it. Now, you and I, we were worshiping idols at some time in our history. We were those people that were there at Banyas, running around and doing all of those things.
Okay,
and I believe that Jesus is saying, I'm going to build my church right on top of these. These guys are going to become my disciples. I think geographically, when you're standing there looking at it, you got it.
And bleeding on the road to Jericho, overtaken by robbers, left laying where his blood does flow. Who will be his neighbor? Who will lend him a hand? The priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan man? Up walks the priest, steps to the other side, hasn't got the inclination, he just walks on by. There's a man broken and bleeding on the road to Jericho. Will the priest be his neighbor? No, I don't think so. Up walks the Levite. He knows the letter of the law, but he just keeps on walking, pretending there's nothing he saw. There's a man broken and bleeding on the road to Jericho. Will the Levite be his neighbor? No, I don't think so. The Samaritan man in common clothes with dirty hands leans down, puts the man on his mule, takes him to an inn and pays what's due. There's a man broken, bleeding on the road to Jericho, overtaken by robbers, left laying where his blood does flow. Who will be his neighbor? Who will lend him a hand? Are you the priest, the Levite, or are you the Samaritan man? The Samaritan man.
Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Would people drive a car 100,000 miles with no oil change? Of course not. However, that is what we do to our bodies. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America have a cutting-edge tool to clean blood. It's called Therapeutic Plasma Exchange. Wouldn't everyone like to clean out molds, toxins, herbicides, pesticides, forever chemicals, heavy metals, and even microplastics? Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America can do that. We are in network with most insurances. Our phone number is 772-298-4477 or Google us in Port St. Lucie.